shout, Jesus saves. We're gonna shout, Jesus saves. So come, let us sing praise, 'cause we are God's warriors in these last days.
Amen.
Chuck, come up and let's finish this. Hallelujah. Thank you, St. Maddie. You want this pick or you have one? Praise the Lord. How many know, is it Wednesday? Wednesday, because we leave. How many know Wednesday is July 4th, Independence Day? Amen? How many know that independence doesn't come free? And I think Pastor had mentioned we wanted to honor our vets this morning. I know I have some relatives and spiritual relatives here in the room that are veterans. So if you're a veteran of any service in the military whatsoever to our nation, would you stand and let us recognize you? Just stand if you've done any military veteran service. Let's give these guys and girls a big hand. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for your service. You know, they lay it all on the line, and we appreciate you. More than you know. Pastor asked us if we'd sing a patriotic song. I said, sure, we'll do that. And then I realized when I hung up, I don't know any patriotic songs. I mean, I know how to sing them, but I don't know how to play them on the guitar. I was chairing in the earlier service when I was in junior high, P.E. Wallace, right, Bill? In choir and stuff, they taught us all the patriotic songs of America the Beautiful, Star Spangled Banner. We learned the Army fight song, the Navy fight song. We learned everything. They don't do that anymore, do they? Maybe that's part of the problem. But anyway, Chuck decided to help me out here. We're going to sing. Let's all stand together, and let's sing America the Beautiful. We're going to give it a try. And I thank God for this nation. Amen. I tell people, if you don't like the country, you should leave for a while and see some other places and come back. Amen. And so as Pastor Rudy, who I'll introduce in just a minute, and Dot and some of us have gone to see crazy third world countries and violent areas, and you come back and you realize, I'm just thankful for like macaroni and cheese on the shelf at the grocery store, amen. So let's do it in D, amen. You got me a D?
Yes, sir.
Play me a D. There
you go. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed His grace on thee and crowned thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea.
Let's give the Lord a big hand. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Chuck. Thank you, veterans. It's Hug a Veteran Day, amen? So y'all can be seated. Praise the Lord. Can we move this now? Praise the Lord, amen? How many glad to be in the house of the Lord? Amen? How many would rather be here at Living Faith than in the best jail in San Antonio? Amen? Hey, praise God. I was preaching down somewhere not too long ago, and when I said that, I think about half the congregation had been in the best jail in town, but it's good to be redeemed of the Lord and be in the presence of the Lord. I want to mention a couple of quick things, kind of, I guess you could call them commercials, but we have back there a little prayer band that we have for sale for $5, and the reason I mention it is on the prayer band we have engraved on there, Jesus loves you. We're getting ready to take a lot of these bands with us to South Africa. We'll be giving away the children, a lot of people there. But we asked folks here in the U.S. to purchase one and just wear it as a reminder, a prayer reminder while we're traveling. Pastor has his on already. Thank you, Pastor. And it says Jesus loves you, J3:16. But then it also says Jesus loves you. And Jerry's got his on. Melba's got hers on, my sister. And it says Jesus loves you in Zulu. Now, I don't know if you speak Zulu, but when we get to South Africa and pass them out, they'll be speaking Zulu. So those are $5. And then I have people tell me I'd love to go with you to South Africa. I'd love to go take Bibles over there. And we have these great Bibles that we're going to be passing out in South Africa. And for $5, we buy one of these. And so what we've discovered is if somebody wanted to buy one, you buy one and we'll go pass it out for you. So if you want to buy one of these Bibles for $5 a piece, and what happens is you just say, I want to buy however many Bibles for the kids in South Africa, and then we take them over. I was telling the congregation this morning, I was really touched recently. I was speaking at a church in Colorado in Denver, and a lady came up, and I was talking about the Bible. She gave me a $100 bill, Rudy. I was like, well, I don't have change for that. She's like, no, I want to buy, enough Bibles with this money, and I'm sending them in my grandchildren's name. As like sowing a seed for her grandchildren in memorial to take over there. So that's kind of cool stuff you can do, and we're happy to do that. We love passing out the Bibles and the bracelets, and we're just going to have a great time there in South Africa. On July 5th, we'll be leaving, and I've got some family here with me. I've got my brother Bill and his wife Tamara, my sister Melba and her husband Jerry. Would you guys stand up and let them give you a big hand? Praise the Lord. And Tamara's actually going with us to South Africa. Is that your first missions trip, Tamara? First time out of the country. She's going to go with us and minister over there. So you guys can have a seat. And I'm going to introduce my wife, Dot, in just a minute. But I also want to introduce, of course, St. Madeline, you've already met. And her dad, Pastor Rudy. And Pastor Rudy was a recon Marine in Desert Storm. We've got Desert Storm veterans. We've got Vietnam veterans. We've got... And so I met Pastor Rudy many years ago, and he's radical, and I like radical people, amen? If you're just kind of lukewarm, I can't hang. I got to be radical. So Pastor Rudy, when you see radical in the dictionary, they got his picture with that long beard there in front of it. And so Pastor Rudy and I hit it off right away because he's radical, I'm radical. And we went to Indonesia. I told a little story, and I'm going to tell it again the second service. So I won't give it away, but... Pastor Rudy signed up to go with me to Indonesia. We went over there after a terrible earthquake. And when I got home, thankfully got home, I realized I think he went not to preach as much as just make sure I got home. His wife made him, Rudy, make sure you get Bobby home. So he's like, okay. I'll tell you a little story and you'll see why that's important. But anyway, they surprised us today. They live in Southern California. They have a tremendous ministry they've started many years ago called CERT. Search, Evangelize, Rescue, and Train, and I'm honored to be on their board, and so got to kind of help with that. But they spent some time in Uganda, right? A servant over in Uganda. They worked with Samaritan's Purse there in Uganda and served over there, and they love Africa. They love the whole world. That's crazy. Everywhere they go, it's like, I want to be here. And so been to the Philippines and Indonesia, and Rudy and I have been all over the world backpacking for Jesus, so... I want Pastor Rudy to come and just share for a minute his heart. You're going to love this guy. If you got like a problem with the devil, call him. He'll take care of it. And but they're rescuing girls from human trafficking all over the world. And I can't say that. Anyway, I was going to tell you something. It's probably top secret. But anyway, a lot of times when Rudy goes places, we'll talk to his wife, Laura, and say, where's Rudy? She goes, I can't tell you. I was like, okay. Because if you tell me, you got to kill me, right? Yeah. So anyway. But Rudy, come, and you guys give him a big hand. I owe a debt of gratitude to Pastor Rudy. Uh-oh, he's got his Bible. Look out. Come on, Pastor. Desert Storm, Marines, Semper Fi.
Here, wait. Get a picture of him, Maddie. The two musketeers.
Right. Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. You can do this. I don't know. What am I supposed to share? God is good. You know, it says in the Bible that... the devil will be defeated by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, right? Of what the Lord has done in your life. And you just can't deny that. And, I, you know, like Bobby said, I'm sure he's going to share about our our experience in Indonesia and possibly not ever being able to go back to that country because of or a lot of other places. I was going to tell Bobby, since the last time I saw him, I've been kicked out of 2 countries. So God is good. Once you get that bug on having to go tell people about Jesus, you just can't stop. And I love that, you know, their ministry used to be called Streetwise, and now it's J316. And that scripture in the Bible is such a foundational scripture. It's such an important scripture. It's such a powerful place to have the foundation of your beliefs to spur off of. And for me, it was interesting because with my background and what Bobby said, we have that ministry that helps rescue people out of human trafficking, and it's kind of the main purpose of it. But really, we rescue people out of all kinds of circumstances, right? And just not too long ago, and this is a declassified operation that we had done, but we had rescued 3 children and their mother out of a satanic cult in Brazil. And the only way that we were able to do this, I don't even think I've got to tell Bobby much about this, but the only way that we were even knew about this situation was because there was an 11-year-old little boy that was being tortured in this cult, sexually and physically abused. He was so physically abused that he can't see out of one of his eyes, that he bumps into walls. But at the age of 11, he had escaped and was hiding out in the basement of a church. And his sister had gone to the U.S. Embassy and said, please, I need help. We need help to get out of the country. They're actually U.S. citizens. And they didn't get any help from the U.S. Embassy. But this little boy, at the age of 11, said, I'm going to fast and pray for 11 days. For one day, that every year that I'm alive. That men would come and rescue us. He fasted and prayed, and his sister went on the internet, and she put in rescuing children and was able to come up with one of our websites and contacted a brother of mine. And so I went down with 2 Navy SEALs and a former CIA operative, and we got them out of that situation. Amen. Where I'm going with that is in the Bible where it says, so God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. See, this is the thing. If I had a short period of time when somebody said, hey, can you go tell somebody how not to be a victim of trafficking? How not to be a victim. They gave me 10 minutes to do so. I thought, how am I going to do that in 10 minutes? And the Lord told me it's really simple. Just tell them to know their worth. See, that scripture tells you how much each and every one of you are worth. If you don't have your worth defined in Jesus, if you haven't heard that scripture, if you haven't been blessed by the Holy Spirit to come upon you to tell you how precious each and every one of you is, how much you mean to them, just like that little boy knew. See, he knew he would fast and pray because he was precious unto the Lord. That he would fast and pray because he knew that the Lord would send somebody. He would fast and pray. How many of us now fast and pray? How many of us fast and pray like that 11-year-old little boy to know how much we're worth? Not only ourselves, but our church, our family, our community, our country, our government. How many of us fast and pray to know that we are worth so much that God sent his prized possession? He didn't send the second string, right? He didn't pick one of the angels. He didn't look at anybody else and look at all of his resources. He said, you know what, my very best, my son, I send you to die upon the cross for their sins. So if I had just this moment to testify, to tell you, I know my worth in Jesus. See, it sends me into the highways and byways without fear. It sends Bobby into the highways and byways without fear. See, we are men. We are like dead men because we know our worth, that we've already been crucified with Christ. There's nothing that can kill us. There's nothing that can stop us. There's nothing that can hold us down. And we're sent by Jesus. I'm so happy to get this chance. You know, if it were just for a moment, it was last night that we decided, it was like around midnight, Maddie said, hey, do you think we can sneak away up there and go see Bobby? And I was like, yeah, let's do that. So thank you so much for letting me ramble on for just a minute. It was great to meet you guys. I love to be in the house of the Lord and be here and be blessed with Bobby.
And he loves Texas too, right? Praise the Lord. If you brought a Bible this morning, I'd like you to open it up to 1 Peter 2 and 9. If you have your Bible on your BlackBerry, strawberry, blueberry, you know, open that up, fire that up, and we'll get to a few scriptures. Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord and just kind of hear from different folks what's on their heart, their anointing, their mantle, and some real generals here this morning. And I just want each one of you to know that God's just got an amazing purpose today. Amen. And I was reading, and I want to share with you the message this morning, beginning in 1 Peter 2:9, about being a chosen generation. Before I do that, though, I wanted my wife Dot to come and share a little bit on her heart, because we're getting ready to go to South Africa. Dot, come up and share your heart. This lady needs the biggest hand in the whole place. Amen. We have been married 46 years. 46, can you believe that? You don't even look 46. And she puts up with me all that time, and she's a great servant of the Lord, such a great partner in ministry. So, Dot, share about a little bit about South Africa, whatever you want to share.
Okay.
Amen?
Okay. Amen. I'm blessed to be with you for 46 years. You know, I got excited listening to you, and the Lord laid something on my heart earlier in the first service, and I was just thinking about how blessed we are to have our family here. And then I was standing out there, and I saw this man walking in the parking lot, and I thought, oh, he looks so much like Rudy. Rudy has a twin. And then I saw St. Madeline, and it's just such a big blessing to have y'all here. And, you know, the Lord gives us family by blood. And, you know, family is so important. Everybody on this front row here has been such a huge support to us through prayer, through finances. And do you know how awesome it is to have family that believes in the call that the Lord has given you? I mean, that's exciting, and we thank y'all for that. And we're so happy that Tamara's going on her first missions trip with us. Woo! But, yeah, Bill. No, and Bill, I know it's a sacrifice to give up your sweet wife for 12 days, and God will honor that. But, you know, I had a friend named Sandra that was a missionary to South Africa for 22 years. I served on her board. And for 22 years, Sandra said, Dot, come to South Africa. You'll love it. And I said, Sandra, no, God has not called me to South Africa. But really, he had. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, Sandra passed away almost 2 years ago. And so, let's see, December before last, I was there, you know, and I was praying what to do about Sandra's ministry because the board needed to close it down or do something. And I remembered the orphans in South Africa. I remembered the churches that she supported. And I remembered that they depended on Sandra Berry Young Ministries for those kids to have a Christmas gift. These kids have nothing. And so I was praying, oh, Lord, how are we going to do this? You know, just crying out to God. It's too expensive to send the gifts, and there's not enough time to get them there. And I heard this still, small voice say, well, why don't you go? And I thought, wow. You know, I've said for 22 years I won't go. And Bobby was walking down the hallway, and I said, Bobby, come here a minute. I said, how would you like to go take Christmas gifts to the kids in South Africa? And he said, okay, let's go. So that was the beginning. Yeah, so we kind of felt like we were going to go over there for a few days, bless the kids, and, you know, meet the people that Sandra had helped and say, we'll pray for you. And that would be the end of our time in South Africa. Well, the very first day there, God gripped our hearts. I didn't talk to Bobby about it. He didn't talk to me about it. We just were kind of quiet when we got back to the hotel. And then the Lord began to just pour out the plan, you know, that, you know, we needed to come back. We needed to continue what God had called our friend to do. We needed to expand what had been done over there. And, you know, I love South Africa. I love the people there. I was you know, a lot of times when we're getting ready for these outreaches, there's all this paperwork to do. There's, you know, so many things to get together. We're packing 10 extra suitcases of clothes and Bibles and toys and candy and, you know, you name it. And, you know, I was just kind of caught up in the busyness of it. And then I was sitting at my desk and getting back to the busyness of this trip, you know, this missions trip. You know, we have a mission to fulfill. We're going to take the gospel to those who need it most. And I saw a picture that Bobby had stepped out of the van and taken when he wasn't supposed to step out of the van. He lives life on the edge. And it was this beautiful picture of giraffes. And I began to weep, you know, just sitting there. And I thought, Lord, forgive me, you know, for just kind of forgetting for the moment what this trip is about. You know, this trip is to continue to speak into lives of those that we've met over there, to continue to help them grow. But you know what? Every time that I've been over there, I don't know how many lives I got to help change, but I know they all changed my life. So we just ask that y'all pray for us. Pray that we win souls, and pray that some of these children that we get to bless with maybe the only clothes they'll have all year, or, you know, the only Bible, or, you know, toy, or whatever it is, that we would be such a blessing to them that they would always remember that the Lord loved them so much that he brought us from America to love on them.
Give Dot a big hand, amen. Hallelujah. It's definitely life-changing. And, you know, when the Lord calls you to do something, you just have a choice to say yes or no. And yes is always a better idea, amen. So back over in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, you are a chosen generation. Church, did you know today that Living Faith Church is chosen by God, has a calling by God, an anointing by God to do a specific thing? You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. How many of you are thankful today to be called out of darkness? Amen. Not only called out of darkness, but called into his glorious light. And that's for a reason, that we should show forth the praises of our God. Amen. When we're in South Africa, whether on the streets or whether we're ministering in a church or an outreach or whatever, our whole idea is just to show forth the praises of the Lord, that people who don't know the goodness of God would begin to sense the goodness of God. And then in Acts 17, verse 5 and 7, it talks about these men have preached the gospel all over the world, and now they're here disturbing our city. Amen? How many know that the gospel message, those who stand for the Lord, should disturb those who are just away from the things of God? Amen? And so our lives should be one that people see not politically correct, but I call it pulpitically correct, amen? I want to be pulpitic, correct from the pulpit, not so much from the political end, but everything going on in this generation right now is a lot of tumult and a lot of problems, and, you know, there's so much going on in the nation particularly. How about if we just stand for the Lord and people say they are turning the city upside down for Jesus, amen? I know that when we go into South Africa, one of the things that kind of speaks to people, number one, that we're there lifting up the Lord in these terribly, sometimes dangerous places, but number two, that a bunch of white people came to South Africa because of all their years of apartheid and the different things that are happening, for us to come in the name of the Lord and bless them, they're not used to that. So we're kind of turning the city upside down. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and 5, I'd like to read that to you. If you turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and 5, it's a powerful scripture that we need to look at today. It says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we faint not. Did you know today, church, you have a ministry that God's called you? If you've been saved, if you've been brought out of darkness into his marvelous light, you have a ministry. And the Bible says that we do not faint. One translation pastor says that we do not lose heart. Did you know today it's so easy to lose heart for people? says we renounce the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Here it is, verse 3. If you don't get anything out of today, please get verse 3. It says this, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to those that are lost. Church, there's lost people outside these four walls. There's people that need this goodness of God that we celebrate today. And the only way they're going to get it, God didn't choose the angels to preach the gospel. He chose his children to preach the gospel. Those that have been called, anointed, and called out of darkness. That if our gospel be hid, it is hid to those that are lost. I pray today, even as Pastor Rudy talked about, that we would have a new burden today for lost people. That we'd sense the heart of God that, as Pastor Rudy talked about, he loved the lost and loved the world so much that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him, what? Should not perish but have everlasting life. We need prophets for this generation. We need people that will stand for God in this generation. And the Lord has directed me today to five little points. You know, it's good to have points in your message. Did you know that? They say God can't use you if you don't have points in your message. You got to have a few points. They learned that in Bible school, I guess. But so I got 5 points that I want to share with you this morning and go through that the Lord has directed me to. You might even say, what time is it today in the economy of God? What time is it in the timetable of God? I believe we're in the last days. I believe that we're hurling toward the last days and the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Basically saying whatever we're going to do for God, we need to do now. Amen? We need to do now. The Bible says we're only promised today. We have no promise of tomorrow. I was mentioning in the early service that on September the 1st last year, I had gotten a call from the doctor. You know, I turned 65 last year. I know I don't look it, but I turned 65. I still got some muscles, but not the Henderson brother kind. But so anyway, I'd never hardly been to a doctor. I'd never been in a hospital, spent the night. I never broke a bone, hardly been sick. But I turned 65 and got Medicare, so they let me go get checked out. And I thought, hey, I'll just go in there. Be like taking an old Ford in the garage and lifting up the hood and saying, hey, what's going on in there? Amen. So I had a bunch of tests, and I did pretty good. But my doctor wanted me to go get this test where it's like a cancer biopsy where you do this test. And so I went and got it, just figured it's a routine thing because I'm healthy as a horse. I mean, I'm hardly ever sick. And I don't take any medications. I'm not on any prescriptions. When I tell the doctors, when they check me out, they're like, you're not on anything? I said, I'm just on vitamin J. What is that? Vitamin Jesus, amen? Come on, somebody. Come on, vitamin Jesus. And so anyway, they did this little biopsy and stuff, and on September 1st, I got a call from the doctor, and I figured it's going to be, man, you are some kind of specimen, amen? But he called me, and he said, well, we did the biopsy, and you have cancer. I was like, excuse me, I think you called the wrong house. He's like, no. So I said, let me get my wife on the line so you can tell her, because she's not going to believe me. I want you to tell her to, you know, like, I don't want to repeat it. I want you to tell her. So he told us and said that they had taken 12 samples to biopsy, and 11 of them were good, but one of them had cancer, Pastor Rudy. And I told Dot, isn't that just like the disciples and Jesus? 11 of them were really good, and one of them, like, turned his back on him. It's always that one out of 12. But anyway, they told me a bunch of stuff they wanted to do that didn't sound good. It had stuff to do with, like, surgery and radiation and all kinds of stuff. I was like, no, I don't think I want to do that. But I've kind of changed my diet and changed my ways. As a matter of fact, I cut out all sugar. You know, I know that people can kick crack if I can give up sugar, amen? And as a matter of fact, my granddaughter actually calls me Mr. Sugar because I'm like the sugar man. And I would eat like a bowl of Frosted Flakes with like 6 teaspoons or tablespoons of sugar on them, right, Bill? We had sugar and everything was sugar, sugar. Sugar, da-da-da-da, sha-na-na-na. Never mind. Anyway, so I started doing everything I could on the health front, amen, because we did some research and discovered that cancer feeds off of sugar. So why do I want to give cancer something they'd feed off of? Anyway, I'm doing great, doing a lot of different treatments and all, but I bring that up not for you to feel sorry for me, but to remind you that we are not promised tomorrow. When I got this biopsy and got this diagnosis, I got a new urgency about the gospel than I'd had before. Somebody said, you mean you got diagnosed with cancer and then you took a missions trip to South Africa. I said, yeah, because whether I live 30 days or 30 years, I want every day to count for the Lord Jesus. Amen. I think we need an urgency today about our lives. We need an urgency about the second coming. So what time is it? I want to give you five things. Number one, it's time to look at the Lord. Amen. When my wife and I got this diagnosis, I just really had to humble myself and begin to spend more time with the Lord and get the peace of God, because the devil will, like, tell you all kind of stuff. Amen. And so we spent a lot of time, even more than normal, just soaking up the Word and putting on, like, praise music and going to sleep with the iPhone just playing praise music every night and preaching every night. And one thing we really love, I don't know if you know about this or not, but you can go on the internet and get an audio file of Johnny Cash reading the Bible. Isn't that awesome? Johnny Cash, Man in Black, reading the Bible. So I'd go to sleep, Dot and I would go to sleep every night to Johnny Cash reading, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I kept waiting for him to say it any minute. I hear the train a-coming. He never said that, but just soaking yourself in the Word, amen. And what happens is you begin to be transformed. The renewing of your mind, the soaking of the Word. Look at the Lord. John 15 and 5, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. Amen? Nothing. I realized, particularly after a diagnosis like that, there's nothing I can do. It's all got to be Jesus. I remember back in about 2005, Pastor was talking about Bill Henderson, one of our friends. Was on the power team, and he called me on the phone in 2005, and he said, hey, would you go with me to Haiti, Port-au-Prince, Haiti, and do some outreach ministry in Haiti? And I'm sitting on the phone thinking, what is this about? Just kind of came out of nowhere. And he said, Trinity Broadcasting Network, which he did a lot of work with there in Southern California, has a compound in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, and they're building a hospital, and two of their staff members there at the compound got murdered right in their offices in Port-au-Prince. And they, you know, they're all in California. So they're trying to find somebody. I don't know if they thought we were sacrificial lambs or what they thought, but it's like, hey, let's send them over there. They'll do something, you know. But so anyway, we put a team together and went to Port-au-Prince. I realized, Pastor Rudy, at that time there were warnings from the government, no Americans go to Haiti. Because they were kidnapping people, and they had, like, UN tanks, and there was martial law declared. But these two people had been killed on the compound, and we just wanted to go over and make the devil pay, amen? You know, when the devil does something to you, like you get a diagnosis of cancer, you just want to make him pay for it. I'm just going to win more souls. I'm just going to go further than I ever have before, amen? So anyway, we put a team together and went to Port-au-Prince, and Haiti, some kind of place just under normal circumstances. But there were UN tanks and people getting kidnapped and all kind of crazy stuff. So we got inside the TBN compound where they were building the hospital. And they had armed guards on, like, turrets out in front of the compound. So we got in there and we just thought, we just need to seek the Lord. So we spent about 3 days just fasting and praying and taking communion and singing praises. 3 days. People say, shouldn't you be out there winning souls? No, we're preparing to go win souls. 3 days just looking at the Lord, reading the Word, praise and worship, and communion. We had taken communion with what we could find. Before those 3 days were up, we were taking communion with stale hot dog buns and red Gatorade. That was our communion elements. You know, I know a lot of churches, and we put a lot of emphasis on those elements, and they're great, they're beautiful, but the elements have nothing to do with it. It's our heart toward the Lord. So we spent about 3 days, and we said, okay, we're ready to go preach now, and we climbed the scaffolding of the hospital there in Haiti where they were building it, and we took some wood off that scaffolding, and we built an 8-foot cross, and I got the guitar, and we got a little half-mile hailer, a little speaker box, and went into the streets there at Port-au-Prince, had them open up the gate, and went out and just began to sing and praise and carry the cross and preach the gospel. And the guards didn't know what to do, so they just followed us around with shotguns. You know, they thought, well, we'll just shoot somebody if anything happens. And we had our own gospel ammunition, amen, choo, choo, choo. And so anyway, preaching the gospel and standing out, it's pretty amazing to stand in the shadow of like a UN tank preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And people were coming to the Lord. There was like a breakthrough. And so God just really began to use us there in Haiti. And we, you know, the compound's good now and everything's great. Because sometimes you just need to take it by force, amen? The Bible says that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. And so that's kind of what we had to do, and in some cases that's what we do there in South Africa. Looking at the Lord, step number one. Number two, what time is it? Time to look at the message. What message do we have today? You know, there's political messages, there's all kind of messages, people in the street, people burning flags, all kind of stuff going on. What is your message? What are you shaking the world with? And I began to realize as I studied this, my message is a simple Bible verse, and Pastor Rudy touched on it. What I decide and declare is the most dangerous verse in the world, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. The most dangerous verse in the world. I used to kind of believe that, but now I really believe it. Pastor Rudy and one of our teams went to Indonesia back in, I don't know, a few years ago. And we forgot to look at the fact that Indonesia is the largest practicing Muslim country in the world. And so we had about, I don't know, five or six of us that went over there to Indonesia and Jakarta. And first of all, when we got there, I noticed a banner on the airport wall that said, if you bring drugs or pornography into Indonesia, we kill you. I was like, oh, well, that's not so friendly of a place. But the idea is, if you step out of line in Indonesia, they just put you in a firing squad or something. As a matter of fact, I read a story recently of a grandmother that got arrested over in Indonesia, and they arrested her on drug charges. And she actually went before a firing squad, and they just killed her. That's how they do it over there. So anyway, we landed there in Indonesia, and one of the first things we did was they took us to a leper neighborhood to pray over all the lepers. Anybody ever been to a leper neighborhood? Rudy, had you ever been to a leper neighborhood before? Not till then. But anyway, we went in this leper neighborhood and began to lift up the Lord. And I'll never forget, there was a man there that I walked up to, and like one of his ears had fallen off from the leprosy, and some of his fingers were falling off. And, you know, just people in a leper camp there that nobody wanted to touch. And we realized they hadn't been touched probably for years. So we just reached out our hand and took them by the hand and said, man, we came halfway around the world. God loves you. He's not forgotten about you, and prayed with them. And then after that, we went up into the jungles of Padang Pariaman, where the epicenter of the earthquake was. And we were giving out food. We were giving out supplies. But we were preaching about Jesus, and we were singing and telling all the hardcore Muslims in this jungle who had, number one, never heard of Jesus. Number two, they had never seen a Bible. So we were preaching and singing, and they said, do you mean Allah? We said, no greater than Allah, Jesus Christ. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by me. And so we're preaching out in front of these mosques that had all fallen down from the earthquake, and we were just having a good old time, amen? And I noticed people kept taking pictures of us. Maddie, I know we're cute, but they were taking pictures of us and videos and wanting their picture made with us, you know, and I'm thinking, you know, putting up like rabbit ears behind their head. I thought they thought we were the Beatles. That's why they kept wanting to take pictures of us. But so Rudy, Pastor Rudy, somebody in the village, a lady, I don't know if she was blind or just couldn't see or what the problem was. I never say she was completely blind because I don't know for sure. But so Pastor Rudy, they said, can you know, pray for her, whatever, she can't see. Pastor Rudy got the Bible, a Bahasa Bible, in the language, and he took out a highlighter. I have a video. It's on a thumb drive back there. I won't show it today, but Pastor Rudy highlighting that Bible for John 3:16, and he handed it to the woman. He said, have her read that. And suddenly she began to read in her language, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. The whole place went crazy. Ah, you know, she can see, blah, blah, blah. It's awesome. And so we're like having the best time. And all of a sudden, on the way down the hill, these motorcycles, I call them ninjas, like pushed our van off on the side of the road. There were five or six of us in a van. We had a Muslim driver, Muhammad, was driving us. And they pushed our van off on the side of the road. And there were motorcycles like in front of the van, all like, I don't know if they were going to kidnap us or cut our head off and put us on YouTube. I don't know what, but I didn't want to find out. So Pastor Rudy, having been a recon Marine, and our friend Pastor Brian having been Marines, I turned around and said to them, hey, y'all check it out. You know, if you're going to go somewhere like that, take Rudy with you. You know, I thought, hey, I'm not even getting out of the van. I'll let my guys, my heavies, check it out. You know, so they get out of the van. And I noticed Pastor Rudy go over, and he's a really nice person, you know, just the nice, kind of, I mean, you know, a recon Marine. It's all kind of undercover. And so I started noticing the ninjas, the kidnapper killers talking to Pastor Rudy and Brian. And one of the ninja warriors walked up to the door and said something to our driver. And I'm sitting in the middle of drivers here on this side, and Brother Bill is on this side. And I said to the driver, "What'd he say?" "Muhammad," the driver said, "he said, if I drive away, Allah will kill me." Brother Bill, who's like 6 foot, 1,000, just reached over and hit the dude in the arm and said, "If you don't drive, I'm going to kill you." Amen. So Pastor Rudy and them were still in the front. And all of a sudden, I see motorcycles being thrown through the air and ninjas being thrown through the air. And Pastor Rudy and them were like, "Go, go, go. You know, we got the road clear." So I said to the driver, "Go, you know, take off." He's like, "I can't. They'll kill me. We're going to kill you." He takes off. Boom, the van takes off. And Pastor Rudy jumps in, and Brian jumps in, and the guys are getting their motorcycles out of the ditch, and they're chasing us, and they start stoning the van, boom, 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 you know, and then the van hit like a high thing or something. You hear like a big explosion in the van, and it's really quiet, and Pastor Rudy goes, "We did get the insurance, right?" And I found out later that's what they did in like Desert Storm when they got hit by a rocket, you know. I was like, "Did we get the insurance on this tank?" Anyway, we got away from them by the grace of God and got to a place that took us into town because the van, like, died. It they had to, like, total it from the rocks and the things that they threw. But when we got back to the city, we found out the police were calling us. And they wanted us to come tell them what we were doing. And so I said, being a Texan, "I'm not going. They want me to come to the police? I'm not going." How many know if you don't go, they come get you? Amen. So they came to the hotel and drug us out of the hotel there in Indonesia. Pastor Rudy, he saved my life on more than one occasion. I mean, really saved my life. And they kicked us out of the country, kicked us out of the hotel. And we thought, okay, we'll just go back to America and I'll be good. But so Pastor Rudy went and got me a Sprite. I'm like, "Where'd you get a Sprite in the middle of this?" He said, "Just because we got a forced evac doesn't mean you can't have a Sprite." So we get in the car and we get to the airport. And all of a sudden, like 20 or so agents come in with arrest warrants for us, and they drag Pastor. We said, "Talk to him." So Pastor Rudy went in and was kind of questioned and what we were doing. We were under arrest, and they had the Bible that he had underlined as evidence. They had all those videos and pictures that we kept taking as evidence, our preaching as evidence. And I remember something I'll never forget. They said to Pastor Rudy, "Is that you on this video?" Pastor Rudy said, "I don't know. I look a little heavy, don't you think? I don't know if that's me or not." And then they said, "I want you to sign this paper." And Pastor Rudy looked at it and said, "These men arrived in Indonesia in good condition." And we're all like, "Well, what condition are we leaving under?" You know. So anyway, Pastor Rudy, having been trained in POW capture and stuff and being anointed, we just let him do all the talking. And finally he came out to me and said, "This doesn't look good. We need like the U.S. Embassy because they're going to, you know, really put us in jail." So I called my wife on the phone. I said, "Do you have the number for the U.S. Embassy?" She's like, "Yeah, why do you need that?" I said, "We're kind of under arrest over here in Indonesia." They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Pastor Steve, who was with us, gave his testimony, and the detective, some of them began to weep, and they let us get on a plane and get out of Indonesia. Amen? And I'll never forget, we sat down on the plane, and Pastor Brian, another Marine, there was a guy sitting by him. We're waiting to take off. I'm just praying, oh, God, don't let the police come on the plane. Oh, God, don't let. And Pastor Brian looks at me and said, "Do you have a Bible?" I said, "Yeah, I got a Bible." He said, "You know, a Bahasa Bible." I said, "Yeah, I got one." He said, "Where is it?" I said, "It's in the overhead." He said, "Can you get it for me?" I said, "Why do you want it?" I gave it to him. What did he do? He took a highlighter and underlined John 3:16 and gave it to the guy on the plane. I'm like, "Isn't that why we got in trouble already? Can you at least wait until we get out of airspace before this happens?" Hallelujah. The most dangerous message in the world is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It changes people's lives. It changes people's minds. Amen. It changes them politically. It changes them in every area of their life, just like it changed us. So we got to look at the message. And then number three is that we look at ourselves. Amen. Look at ourselves. Isaiah 6:5, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips." And he began to look at himself. As a matter of fact, I was just thinking when we're doing the praise and worship, I walked over to the door over there and I saw my reflection in the glass on the thing. I thought, whoa. Sometimes we just got to take a what I call a checkup from the neck up, amen, spiritually, and just say, Lord, where am I with you? To look at myself. And then number four, as we look at the people, Matthew 9, 35 and 38 said, Jesus looked out on the multitudes. He was moved with compassion for them. You know, when you see people, and the Bible says that Peter and John went up to prayer at the ninth hour. They saw the lame man from his mother's womb, and the Bible said Peter fastened his eyes on him. They saw broken people. Sometimes as believers, the problem is we don't get around any broken people because we just kind of tend to be in our comfort zone, and that's it. I'm guilty of that. And I want the Lord today to take me to broken people. I remember many years ago, they had a big Mardi Gras type thing down in Key West, Florida. And some of my friends said, let's go down there and preach on the street and pass out tracts and carry the cross in Key West, which is kind of a country unto its own. So we went down there with a bunch of people, had an 8-foot cross, had written on the front of it, He died for you. And so they told us, if you go to Key West, Florida and carry the cross, they'll throw you in the ocean. Thought, wow, that sounds like a threat. So we decided to do it anyway. So we get down to the pier where they watch the sunset in Key West because it's so beautiful. And so I began to sing and do praise and worship. We had the cross. And there are all kind of people down at the pier. Pastor, they had snake charmers. They had like sword swallowers and astrology people and stuff. And we're in the middle of it. It looked like something out of the book of Acts. So we're singing and praising the Lord, and I'm waiting any minute for somebody to throw me in the ocean because the ocean's right at my back. I'm standing on the pier. And so I got down on my knees and began to lead, I worship you, Almighty God. I'm down like this with my guitar. I worship you, Almighty God. The whole team was down on their knees. There is none like you. All the people began to gather up, sword swallowers, snake charmers, none like you. And then I thought, I'm just going to crack my eye open to see when they throw me in the ocean who did it. So I kind of cracked my eye open like that, and I noticed there was a woman and a group that had gathered, and the woman began to cry, big tears running down her face. I thought, hey, man, this is awesome. So I just kept singing, and I said, let's pray for people and stuff. And have you know, I never got thrown in the ocean. That's just a lie from the devil. Remember that song, Fear is a Liar. False evidence appearing real. Fear. When the devil gives you something and says, if you do so-and-so, I'm going to do X, just don't believe him, amen? And so anyway, we got out of there and did a bunch of ministry, but we looked at the people. That's who broke our heart. The Bible says Jesus had compassion on them, and compassion doesn't just mean I feel sorry for you. The dictionary definition for compassion says a feeling of deep sorrow and sympathy for another who is stricken with misfortune, comma, accompanied by a desire to alleviate the suffering. Church, we need a desire to alleviate the suffering of broken humanity. Amen. Looking at the people. And then number five is to look at the clock. Look at the clock. How much time do we have left? I'm looking at the clock right now. We don't have much time left. But how much time do we have left to bring in the kingdom? How much time do we have left? When I go into the kingdom, when Jesus brings me up, I want to have his hand in my hand and pulling up people with me. Amen. Amen. And I said earlier, it's kind of like the 2-minute warning of a football game, a cowboy game. You know, the Cowboys played terrible for the first 58 minutes, and then the 2-minute warning, they're the best team you've ever seen. And I'm thinking, why is that? It's because of the urgency. Time is running out. Whatever you're going to do, you got to do now. If you're going to do a mission trip, go do it now. If you're going to talk to your neighbor about Jesus, do that now. If you've got a mom or a dad or a family member that's not saved, take care of that now. Because you don't even know if tomorrow's going to come. Amen. We're only promised today. And then I threw in one little extra one. Number six. What time is it? It's time to go. G-O, a small word. Go for the Lord. Isaiah, once again, in verse 6-8 said, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, Lord, send me. Time to go. Mark 16 and 15 as I close. Go into all the world, your world, and preach the gospel to every creature. Church, it's time to get up and time to go. Amen? Amen. If you believe that today, let's give the Lord a big hand. Praise the Lord. Can we try that video again in just a minute? We tried this little video in the first service and had some technical difficulties. And I tell people the devil hates these videos because it just shows a lot of things that the Lord's done and doing. And we were in San Angelo, Texas recently and spoke at a church, and my family was there and showed the video of Africa. And my sister-in-law, Tamara, the Lord really spoke to her. She saw those pictures. So I want to tell you, when we showed this video, it's kind of dangerous for you to watch this. But Tamara, come up just a minute and share with them what you experienced when you saw the video. What happened? Come on, give Tamara a big hand. She had no idea I was going to do this, and she probably doesn't like me right now. But, you know, her first mission trip ever is not just like a few miles away. It's like all the way halfway around the world to South Africa. And she saw the video. She was in church just like, you know, everything's good. Something happened when she saw that video, and I want her to tell you, and then I want to show it.
Yeah, I don't like him very much right now. I don't like to get up in front of people. I'm a teacher by trade, but I have always wanted to go on a mission trip, and it was never the time. You know, God just, it was never the time to go. And, you know, like I've written in my letter, you know, I've seen countless times people come up and share their mission, their ministry. And, you know, I've just thought, okay, well, I'll add to the offering. I'll do this. I'll pray. You know, I'm good at that. And then all I heard was this voice that said, go. I need you to go to South Africa. And so for about 2 or 3 days, I just, Bill and I talked, and I fought and fought, and I thought, no, it's too much money, I can't do this. And when I started to say no, I felt worse. I felt God just saying, I need you to go. So Dot prayed with me on the phone, and, you know, I just knew I needed to go. And so, you know, I have a wonderful husband, I'm this wonderful family. I don't know what to expect. I am so, so excited that God chose me, this little petite blonde girl from Texas, to go to South Africa and to love on kids, because that's what I do on a daily basis at school. But I was struggling with teaching. I didn't want to teach anymore. I didn't know where I was supposed to go with this. But I know that God has called me to South Africa. We all, as Bobby said, we all have a ministry. Wherever you are at in your life, you have a ministry. And God has awakened my spirit and has told me to go to South Africa. And I am so truly humbled and blessed. Sorry. See what you do when you bring me up here. I'm truly blessed and humbled, because this is what I'm supposed to do. And in the meantime, he has renewed my spirit for teaching, that I have children right in front of me that I can love on and share that love and show them that they are cared about. And so I just ask that you pray for our team. Pray for Bobby and Dot. They've done this for a really long time. I'm a newbie, so I can't wait to see what God has in store. And so it's going to be amazing. So thank you so much.
You still love me, right? Can we just show that, turn the lights off and show that short video, and then Pastor, thank you. Thank you, Pastor and Irma, for having us. You know, we're real family here, and I mentioned earlier service that with no place we'd rather be to be launched off next week than here with you guys, so.
Amen. Aren't those the beautiful people of just the nations of our world, right, that God loves, right? And thank God for it. Thank God for Bobby Chance and Dot and J16 Rescue. We're blessed and honored to have them in our pulpit and our house today. I wanted to give you a couple of things that I need to tell you about as we conclude. Just right off the bat, some of you are going to get real hungry. There's some good paletas, and paletas are like ice cream bars. You know, they sell those in Dallas, Bobby. Paletas are these, they have them in San Antonio, South Texas, and they're ice cream bars, but they're done Mexican style. So they're delicious. They have like watermelon seeds literally in the ice bars or whatever. Well, we're selling those for one of our young people to go to the mission trip in Donna, Texas, and Howard and Sonia are heading that up. They wanted to make sure they tell you about those. Let's make those run out. Aren't those good? Yeah, amen. You're smiling at me a little bit, or you're looking at me a little bit weird. Let's do that. And then I want you to also go by the product table that Bobby Chance has. He has good CDs. Now, if you have an 8-track still, an 8-track, some of y'all have stumble 8-track, these ain't going to work, okay? But you got to get that CD player, so make sure you do that and do that today. And his products are great. You want good Christian music playing in your house. And in the car, is that good? Yes, amen. You know what I admire about Bobby as I saw this also is that he didn't tell us stories like 20 years ago, 50 years ago. This was just in July, and now they're going to South. So there's a man of accomplishment, a man with his ministry still doing things, right, everybody? And so there's a fresh word coming back at us, and it's not something of yesterday; it's today, with the urgency that he has, and he spoke to us about that. And so we thank God for that today. Amen. And make sure that we give today. Today we're going to receive our tithe and offering. And we're also going to include, I want you to do that as you step forward in faith, and just an extra check, an extra swipe on your debit card, an extra keying in on ways to give. You can do that text to give with the keywords that are right up there. And it's real easy to do. And you can include Bobby Chance. If you're writing out a check, just earmark it Bobby Chance or earmark it the Bobby Chance and do that, and that will go towards his ministry as he goes towards South Africa and does that. Would you participate in giving today and be generous? Amen. Boy, it's quiet in this Episcopalian church, but we're good. Amen. We're givers and we're generous givers, and so we thank God for it today. Amen. Immediately following our service, as we conclude the tithe and offering, I usually don't do this, but I'm going to ask you to kind of go into the foyer, enjoy the time there. But if you are staying today, David and Irene, after 12 years of being married, a part of our church family today, they're going to recommit their vows publicly. And so we'll have a short recommitment of vows here at the altar. I want our church family to stay, of course, for that. If you're a special guest, feel free to be in the foyer and be part of it. If you want to see a miracle take place, of what recommitment is and the recommitment of vows, we're going to share that with David and Irene. Is that okay with everybody? So just kind of don't linger, be on the outside, because we want to celebrate and gather close with David and Irene. They planned this for a few months, and it's special to them and it's special to us. Right, everybody? Amen? Let's ask God's blessing upon the tithe and the offering. We thank God for all the guests here that have come. Father, we thank you. We're generous people at Living Faith Church. We thank you for the gift of God today. I just feel led to pause right now and Why don't we pray for Bobby as he goes forward into the mission field, and have our elders come and maybe our church council come if you want, and lay a hand, and my wife, if you'll come right now, and just thank. I know Dot stepped out probably to take care of that business, and if you would you come, Dennis, also, and if you're here as a leader, and Sherry and Larry, come as Sherry, you're on staff with us, and we appreciate you, and thank God. Amen. We thank you for Bobby Chance, Reverend Bobby Chance, Lord. He didn't like to be called Reverend, but he's a reverend to us, Lord. He's a father of this house spiritually. Long ago, we didn't know of the mark that he would make on us. Even before he was born, God, you already knew that his steps were ordered to bring him here to Living Faith Church, Lord. And Lord, we send him out blessed to South Africa, he and Dot and the team. Thank you for what's going to take place in the next few days. Lord, how beautiful are the feet of them that take the good news. Thank you, Father. And so with that certainty, Lord, he's covered, he's blessed, and there's greater mountains that he'll climb like Caleb. We thank you, God. In the name of Jesus, he's healed totally also from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. And as he lays hands on the sick in South Africa, they also recover. Yes. There's no cancer on anyone, Lord, in South Africa because of the miracle that's within Bobby today. You, in the name of Jesus, we send him out blessed today. Amen? Amen. And amen. There's one more gift for you, Bobby, today. Stay up here. Leroy, you did something special for him, and we thank God. Why don't we present him to y'all? Y'all can stay here because it's a miracle of what has taken place. Yes. Amen. And what Leroy did, and he didn't want to be noticed, and he doesn't like me doing this. Leroy is a craftsman. He'll take an instrument and he'll make it into a guitar. I've seen him do it, and his house is filled with special guitars. And so what he did, because he knew about your guitar and how it needed a healing, he blessed you with something that you're going to love. Amen. Amen. And it's tell him about it, Leroy.
This is a Breed Love. It has a bridge doctor in it, so you can lower the belly if it gets one. And pardon me, I play upside down, but it's
beautiful.
You think you would be able to get along with that?
Yeah.
Wow. Can I have your old guitar?
Thank you so much.
Awesome. Can I have your old guitar?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. That's awesome.
It even fits in your case.
Wow.
That so gracious of him and Patty? They came and they're right there. They're beautiful people.
Thank you so much.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Wow. This is going to go all over the world.
Tell us one more thing. Yes,
Chuck, you did an excellent job, dude.
Yes, he did.
You've grown so much since we left here and came back.
Yes, sir. Amen.
That never would have happened if you wouldn't have got the chance to be up there.
Yeah.
There might have been better people at the time, but now there's not. There's no better person than you.
Amen. Amen.
Keep growing.
Amen. What's amazing about Leroy and Patty is they really came as special guests, but they saw the need, and then they even went above and beyond that. That's God, right, everybody? If God can do this, he can do anything, right, sir? So thank God for it. Amen.
All you know is right here. There, you'll feel the whole thing twisting.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And it plugs in back here.
How could you not want to give today? Amen. Would you want to lead us in a song, an offering, if you want? Or
I'm sure. Yeah.
So as he sings, we give. Let's stand to our feet and give, and we bless the offering plate today, the offering basket up front. Amen.
No words, amen.
Should I plug this in or just play with it? Can I plug with his cord? Can I plug with your cord, Chuck?
says, I'm trading my sorrow. I'm trading my shame. And I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. And I'm trading my sickness. And I'm trading my pain. And I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. And I said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, there ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party, because a Holy Ghost party don't stop. Ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party, because a Holy Ghost party don't stop. Ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party, because a Holy Ghost party don't stop. Ain't no party like a Living Faith Church party. I said, hey, ho, devil, you got to go. I said, hey, ho, devil, you got to go. I said, hey, ho, devil, you got to go. I said, hey, ho. Because I'm trading my sorrow. And I'm trading all of my shame, yeah. And I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. 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 Come on, let's give him a praise. Come on, let's give him a praise. Hallelujah. Man, does that guitar sound beautiful or what? I'm just so amazed. I don't even know what to say. Thank you.
Hasn't God been good to us today? Amen. We rejoice in the Lord. Again, I don't want to dismiss church, but we have to in a way. And so go in the love of the Lord. Leave blessed. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. And may the Lord be gracious to you. Amen. Amen. We'll have a recommitment of vows pretty quick. So, again, you can be in the front, closer, as family and friends of David and Irene as we recommit vows today. Amen. We'll do that within about 5 minutes. God bless you as you leave.